word of God, to hear from the voice of the Lord. So you want me to share the Bible? I can't hear. I hear people saying that they hear from God directly, and I don't. So you just want me to share this with them? That makes me feel kind of nasty. I feel sometimes, if I'm being honest, sometimes I'm ashamed to say that, oh yeah, I believe the Bible. I believe everything that it has to say. But friends, what do we know? Romans 1:16. For the power of God, for the word of God. The word of God is power for salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God for salvation. So my question to you today, this morning, is where does the Bible fit into your life? Or put another way, what is the Bible sufficient for? What is the Bible good for? God, man, Jesus response. God, man, Jesus response. God, man, Jesus response. The gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. How do we know? Well, before I get there, the Bible is sufficient for teaching us who God is. As we read together this morning, God is a creator of all things. He created everything that your eyes can see. He created the beautiful trees, the little insects that crawl around in the ground. He created the creeping things, the animals, the fish, the seas, the heavens. The heavens, the glory of the heavens. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. We look up to the vastness of the heavens and we are amazed and astounded. But what else does the Bible tell us? God created you better than the beautiful things that your eyes see. The created earth, the glorious, miraculous heavens. God tells us that when He created man and woman in His own image, He rested because it was very good. God is our creator. And as God created us to be in a perfect relationship with Him forever, we see that the Bible also teaches us about who we are as humans. The Bible teaches us that as we were created in the image of God, perfect, don't just pass this along. Christian, this is food for your soul. This is not, I'm done with the gospel. I need more stuff now. No, Christian, this is your life. Don't pass this by. Don't pass the gospel by. God created you. God created humans. And we were to be in perfect relationship with Him forever. But when we were tempted with wanting to be like God, we are created in the image of God. We are created in the likeness of God. Then we're tempted to be like God, and we fell for it. That ruined our relationship with God. That ruined our image. to be a bearer of God. We still have it, but it's marred. We still are the most glorious thing, but it's corrupted. We still can have a relationship with God, but God must judge sin. We read throughout the entire Old Testament that there are these sacrifices made so that people of Israel, the people of God, could be in right relationship with God. We later learn in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So we are doomed by ourselves. We are completely bankrupt, completely hopeless. You know the worst thing about hell is? It's not eternal separation from God. Because God is there. And He is pouring His wrath for eternity. That's the scariest thing. We also learn about God Himself. Philippians 2. Jesus Christ, who, though being found in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but rather in humility, He took on the God of creation, who is holding all things together by the power of His word, Colossians chapter 1. He took on this flesh. He added to Himself the Son of God, becoming the Son of Man, in humility made Himself like us, was born. And He wasn't just born. He took that wrath of God willingly. He willingly took that wrath of God for you. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The most shameful way. The most despicable way. The Creator of all things took that for you. And He took that for me. Wow. Jesus died, proving Himself to be God, showing that death cannot hold Him. He has power over even death itself. He triumphantly rose from the grave. Bodily, physically, His body was dead. There's historical evidence. The Romans, they had one really good job, and that was killing people. They didn't just have a mishap one time. They killed Him, and Jesus was dead. And then He appeared to thousands after His resurrection. Peter tells us that in the book of Acts. He appeared to thousands of people. There was eyewitness evidence, and there was historical records that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and walked. He didn't just pass out. Romans killed Him, and He rose from the dead, and then He ascended into heaven, and He is seated at the right hand of God. He is seated because the work of God is finished. He's seated because His work is sufficient to cover our sins. Is that true for you? The Bible teaches us also that if we go to Him in repentance, if we respond, we must respond to the gospel. You reject it entirely, saying that this is not for me, or you say, Jesus Christ is my only plea in life and death. The Bible teaches us how we can be reconciled. Sinful man. How we can be reconciled to our loving and merciful God by simply receiving in faith the work that God has done himself in Jesus Christ for you, so that we might be to the praise and glory of God the Father. The Bible tells us that if we repent from our sins and turn to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us. The book of Acts, chapter 2. What must I do to be saved? Peter says, repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we get all of these things? I've asked people before, hey, tell me about your story as a Christian. Well, I've been a Christian my entire life. And it's like, no, you haven't. Well, maybe my wife, she was little. But we all too often just think that we are born a Christian. We all too often think that this is something that we have designed on our own. There is no way you know anything about who God is, about who you are as a person, about who Jesus Christ is, what He has done, and how we can be reconciled to God. There is no way that you know without this. The Bible? You want me to give them the Bible? What else is the Bible sufficient for? We saw that the Word of God is more than enough to accomplish the work of God and the people of God. But Father Abraham, if you send them someone from the dead, really wrestle them up, if you just give me a sign, God, do something in my life, then I will. The Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, this is his oldest sin, okay? This is not something new that we're facing today. We hear about this in the rest of the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 16 to 21, Peter is writing to these Christians who are being persecuted, who are now in physical danger, and they're thinking, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. They're telling me these things, these Judaizers, these people who are teaching me to go back to the Old Covenant. They're telling me, the people of God and the rest of the Old Testament, you know, they had these blessings. Peter says, don't be deceived. Remember, we did not come to you with any clever myths on our own. We did not come to you trying to convince you of our own doing, but we preached Christ crucified. He then goes on to say that no interpretation of Scripture, nobody cleverly designs these things on their own, but rather these men who wrote the Scripture, they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Paul in 2 Timothy warning the young protege, Timothy, hey, be careful. There are going to be people who are coming in your churches who are going to, they're wanting their ears tickled. They're going to have itching ears, and they will hear these cleverly designed stories, these cleverly designed myths, and they'll want to listen to them. They'll want to hear, what does he say? 2 Timothy 3, verses 3 and 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. This is coming right off the heels of Timothy saying, or Paul saying to Timothy, that all of Scripture, what Paul has written, or what Peter has written, what the apostles wrote, all Scripture is breathed out by God. And it's not just this arbitrary thing. It has a purpose. It's for rebuking and for correction and for training in righteousness, so that all Scripture is breathed out by God, so that the man of God may be complete and perfectly equipped for every good work. So what else is the Bible good for? We saw that it's sufficient to teach us who we are, who God is, who Christ is, how we respond, the gospel. It is sufficient to teach us the gospel. Is that it? Does the Bible teach us how to build a car engine? No. Does the Bible teach us how to make a sandwich? There might be some things with the manna and fish in the Old Testament. I might give you that, maybe. What the Word of God speaks to, it speaks to it fully, clearly, and authoritatively. So what else is the Bible good for? What about how we speak to non-believers? Have you thought about that? All too often, I will find that it's this us versus them mentality of I'm better than you, and you are a jerk. Oh my goodness, how will they ever want to hear the gospel from us? The most offensive thing that you could ever tell a non-believer is you are a sinner and you need to be reconciled to God. Is that true of you? Is the most offensive thing you say to non-believers, is the most offensive thing you say the real truth about them? Not about their political stance, not about the way that they speak, not about how they handle their money, not about fill in the blank. Is it you, friend? You are condemned. And without Christ, you are perishing. And then we share the good news with them. We share the good news with them. What about how we speak to believers? It's kind of funny. We see this role reversal in Luke chapter 16. There's also a role reversal that's in our lives. How we speak to non-believers is how we should be speaking to believers. Non-believers, they don't know. They don't know the truth. They have not been redeemed. Of course, heathens will be heathens. Pagans will be pagans. Why are we surprised? What is surprising is when the people of God who say, this is my only plea in life and death is Christ, and I love the Bible, and then they're being hateful, not just to unbelievers, but to each other. Patience, gentleness, kindness, tenderness, self-control. How do you speak to believers? It's not just to encourage each other, but when you see a brother or sister in sin, do you call them out? That's the most loving thing that you can do. The most, Matthew 18. If a brother or sister has a sin against you, go to them. Confront them. Have a hard conversation about sin. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 7 that when we do this, when we put people out because of their unrepentant sin, we do that so that in the day of the Lord their soul might be saved. Do you bring these words of encouragement? Do you bring these words of exhortation and of correction. We then see it's the Bible teaches us how to live our Christian lives. The Bible teaches us how we can, if this is God's church, do you think he just left us to our own devices to decide how we should do things? No. Our gracious Heavenly Father did not leave us. There are many freedoms that we have in the Christian life and in gathering together. But God has clearly told us how we conduct our gatherings, how we conduct the leadership of the church, how we regard the Bible. Friends, you don't need to hear a physical, audible voice. Through this, you can see the face of God. You can hear. You can get so close. Is Scripture enough? Is the Bible enough for you? Psalm 119, verses 89 to 94. In there it says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." If God's word is fixed, then it is fixed. So in light of those things, what should we do? What do we do with this? In light of the Word of God being more than enough to accomplish the work of God and the people of God, therefore, know your Bible. This gospel truth that we just looked at together, listen, God, man, creation, God, man, Christ response. God, man, Christ response. Preach that to yourself every single day because it is true of you. And if you're here this morning and you would not identify as a Christian, let today be the day of salvation for you. This book has told us our fate. Let the entire story be true of you. Be a co-ruler with Christ, redeemed and ransomed by Christ, released from the power of sin by Christ. Let this be true for you today. Know your Bible, Christian. I just shared in youth a moment ago. During this week, and not just this week, my wife can attest to it, I will get into books of the Bible and say, "What in the heck am I doing?" I got into the book of Isaiah. Just to be real with you all, I struggle. We all struggle in the Christian life to know what God's Word says. But don't see that as a discouragement. See that as your kind, loving Heavenly Father showing you, this is something about me that you don't know. Learn it. Work so hard. Because what you will find is something more glorious than life itself. Have you thought about that? As a brief little tangent, when we are in glory, for those of us who are in Christ, when we are in glory forever, we will say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Why? Because God is limitless. He never runs out. There will be new aspects, like an endless diamond that we keep turning and seeing the beautiful complexities. We will do that with God for eternity, and we will never grow weary because His greatness never ends. The Bible? Friends, know your Bible. And once we do that, lest we become like the rich man who knew his Bible, Father Abraham. Send them these people so that they repent. He knew his Bible. lest we become like the rich man. We must obey our Bibles. The book of James says, let us be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. In the Christian life, I'm a sinner over here, okay? I'm a sinner. God has redeemed me. I've obeyed. Am I done now? No. No, I'm just getting started. As if you've been a Christian for any time at all, you know that this is the starting point. This, you were dead. Dead in your trespasses and sin. You've been brought to life. Now your life begins. Obey the Bible. Learn the Bible. Obey the Bible. And then we share the Bible. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to those who will believe. What is your evangelism like? When you know that there's a family member who is perishing, the Bible? You want me to share the Bible? Yes. Yes. For it is the power of God for salvation. If God's word is fixed, then it is fixed. Let's pray. Father, let us hear this word. And indeed, lest we become like this rich man who knew your word, knew something about you, but did not obey, did not care for the poor, did not take these truths as refreshment to his soul for life and godliness. Oh God, lest we become like him, help us. Help us to know your Bible. Help us to obey the Bible, your authoritative word in our lives. God, as we look out and see a world perishing, may we fully and wholeheartedly believe that your word is able to accomplish all that it has set out to do, and that is to bring sinners to you so that you would be glorified. Help us, Father. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand as we respond in song?
you saints of the Lord, it is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with you. For I am your God, and will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. Call you to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with you, your troubles to bless, and sanctify to you your deepest distress. When your pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you, I only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine. Soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake.
Hear now from the book of Joshua, our benediction for today. A blessing as you go. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do accordingly to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it by day and by night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 You are dismissed.